Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 2nd. Well, another day. I think abortion is the topic in the country today. We'll talk a little bit about that. The day after the arguments, I guess, before the Supreme Court. What are some people saying about what could happen? Very interesting situation in Major League Baseball, but the owners and the players are at it again. So the owners, they have an agreement that they have to reach. They haven't reached it. So basically they've shut down Major League Baseball, meaning there's a lockdown. The players cannot go work out. And so on. So the teams are out of business, theoretically, I guess, for the time being. But I want to begin with what is happening at CNN. There is a total mess going on at CNN, and the situation with Chris Cuomo, I think, really in many ways is the poster child for what's going on at CNN. As you may have heard, CNN has dismissed Chris Cuomo. Because based on some information that they've dug up in the investigation of his brother, the former governor of New York, apparently Chris Cuomo was using his position as a CNN moderator to pass some information, or let's just say play a role in the investigation of his brother. Now, I don't fault Chris Cuomo for wanting to help his brother. I mean, I think all of us would probably want to help our brother. I mean, it's a brotherly thing to do. You want to help your brother. If your brother is in legal trouble, you see what you can do to help him. The problem is that you don't do it when you have a show at CNN. Now, it's not that he did something illegal. I want to make that clear. To my knowledge, Chris Cuomo did not violate any law by doing what he was doing. To my knowledge, that could happen later. But right now, I don't know of any. But he clearly violated the most basic of journalistic ethics. And that ethic is that if your brother is the governor of a state and your brother is in trouble, he's being investigated, he's in a scandal, what you do at CNN is you say, look, I have a show at CNN and I'm not going to talk at all about my brother. I'm going to stay out of that. I'm going to recuse myself from anything having to do with my brother as a moderator at CNN. But even worse than that, or even more important than that, CNN would bring him into the office and say, Chris, your brother is under investigation, so your show is not going to do anything or talk at all about your brother under investigation. So you cannot do anything or cover your brother while he's under investigation. Well, CNN didn't do that. And, of course, Chris Cuomo didn't stop. And now you have this terrible situation, just an absolutely horrible situation, where CNN is just a mess. Everything over at CNN is just a total mess. And all you got to do is look at the ratings. The top 20 shows on cable news, the first 17 are Fox shows. Number 18, I believe, is CNN. Number 20 is CNN. That's just cable news. Okay, so this is a service, a news service, that obviously has not been winning a lot of friends. They're not drawing big audiences. You really have to wonder how much longer are the people who are invested in CNN, be it the shareholders, the owners of CNN. I believe that AT&T is the owner of CNN. I believe that. You have to wonder how much longer are they going to continue this going on. The network has lost all kinds of credibility. It became the anti-Trump network. All they did was talk about Trump. Trump, they have an obsession with Trump. They cannot do 2 minutes without talking about Trump. Well, Trump is gone now, of course, so they have nothing to talk about. They have no news. They've got 24 hours of news time. They've got a collection of reporters, and all they do is talk about Trump. They have nothing else to talk about. There's nothing else that they do at that network but talk about Trump or January the 6th or whatever. So, you know, the CNN is a mess. And you really have to wonder how much longer they're going to continue doing this. Now, I've heard, you know, rumors that they may be turning that organization upside down and getting rid of a bunch of people and sort of going back to a more news organization, more of a boring news organization, as they like to call it. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't have any inside information. But, I, you know, they couldn't get any worse than they are right now. Where, you know, frankly, you know, who watches CNN? I mean, you really have to be, you have to wonder, why would anybody want to watch that network? Well, I guess if you want to watch, if you want to hear about Trump 24 hours a day, you listen to CNN or you watch CNN. But if you want to talk, you know, hear about the news or you want to get a sense of what's happening, well, you're not going to get it at CNN. MSNBC is even worse, but at least, you know, they've got, at least they're getting people to watch over there. But anyway, what a mess. What a mess over at CNN. Well, let's talk a little bit about abortion before the Supreme Court. As you know, there were some arguments before the Supreme Court, all kinds of speculation. By the way, we did a show with Michael Bargo Wednesday night. You can see it in the archives. Michael has done some work in the area of abortion. In fact, he has filed several cases in federal courts about abortion and the rights of fathers. Very interesting point of view that Michael presented on our show. And if you have a chance, listen to the show. It's the one before this one in the archives. But if you listen to the commentators, the people who know about this, you know, the people who are not looking at it from a partisan standpoint, I guess, what they're saying is that they feel that the Supreme Court has reached the point where they are ready to move on beyond Roe v. Wade, meaning they're ready to say the state of Mississippi has the right to say that abortions can only happen in the first 15 weeks. I mean, they're kind of moving in that direction. So they're moving in the direction of saying that the states can regulate abortion, and therefore Mississippi can do 15 weeks. Another state wants to do another one. That's fine. They can do it as long as, you know, it's done by the legislature or within the structure of a state. And I think that's the direction they're going. Now, I had a feeling that this was going to happen. In other words, I had a feeling that the Supreme Court was headed in that direction when I saw what happened to the law here in Texas, you know, the so-called heartbeat law. For those of you who may not be familiar with Texas, we passed a law here last summer. It went into effect September 1st, saying that there can be no abortion if there's a heartbeat. In other words, the doctor has to check to see if there's a heartbeat. If there's a heartbeat, there can be no abortion. And, you know, it happens anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks. I guess it depends on the woman and the pregnancy. But anyway, that law was passed, and it was immediately challenged in the courts. And the Supreme Court didn't refuse it or didn't kill it. Then it went to another court. They didn't kill it. Then it went back to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't reverse the law. So that gave me an indication that the judges in the court are thinking along the lines that, you know what, Texas can do this within their legislature, within their government. You know, they can vote people in office who promise to do this. They do it. They pass a law. It's signed by the governor. The people of Texas can do that if that's what they want to do. And that's why I had the feeling all along that the court was going to move in the direction of giving states the right to control abortion simply because of the fact that it didn't kill the Texas law. I think had the court been willing to reinstate Roe v. Wade or basically keep Roe v. Wade as is, I think they would have killed the Texas law, but they didn't. And that was my indication. That was my indication that something may be happening here. So I really believe, I'll say it again, I think that the courts are going to write an opinion sometime in the spring probably that says that states can regulate abortion. And that's going to be the next battle in the abortion. And then all the battles will then move to the state legislatures. California, New York, Illinois, well, they'll probably pass their own version of Roe v. Wade. Texas, Oklahoma, other states will pass their restrictions, and that's where we'll go. And the people will decide, which is the way it should have been all along. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Well, if you're a baseball fan, then you know that every so many years the owners and the players negotiate a labor agreement, and the agreement is up for negotiation again. And what often happens is they don't agree, they get into a fight, and the owners shut down the game. Basically, they lock the players. That's what literally what they do. They lock the training field, they lock the facilities, and the players cannot work out or whatever. Well, they're doing it again. We're in the middle of a lockdown right now. And frankly, you really have to ask yourself a question. You know, baseball had a pretty good ending to the season in the sense that the Atlanta Braves won the title. And I think a lot of fans like me were, you know, sort of got back into baseball because of the fact that the Braves won the title, the same city that was denied the All-Star game a little bit before. So, I mean, it was like I felt good about the game at the end of the World Series. So now we have this, a lockdown. So you really have to ask the question, if I was talking to the owners and if I was talking to the players' union, I would ask a very simple question. Are any of you reading the headlines? Are any of you seeing what's happening to the country with the pandemic? The baseball teams lost a lot of money in 2020 because of the pandemic. They were not playing before fans, so... You know, they don't make any money in ticket sales if the fans are not there. And in 2021, a lot of teams did put fans back, but it took a while for it to get going. So you would think in this atmosphere of economic difficulty that the last thing in the world the owners and the players would want to do is get into a labor argument. You know, why not just punt for a couple of years and renew it for a couple of years and just keep it as it is for a couple of years and come back a couple of years later? Well, not this group. I guess they're going to get into a fight. I don't know how long this fight is going to last, but it could be lengthy. And if it's lengthy, that's not helping the game at a time when the game needs a lot of help. As I say, they've lost a lot of money because of the pandemic here the last couple of years. The players have lost a lot of money too, because in 2020 they didn't get to play a full season. So we'll see what happens, but I'm hoping that common sense prevails in these negotiations and they can start playing ball, because they can negotiate when they're playing ball. But if they're, nobody buys a ticket to watch them negotiate. In other words, they only buy tickets when they're playing on the field. Well, President Biden continues to hit these very low points when it comes to approval ratings, and this is really new territory. We've never been here before. In the first year of a presidency, I mean, we've had presidents with low ratings at the end of their presidency or at certain points of their presidency, but never in the first year. So you really have to wonder, where is this going to go? How much lower is it going to get? Or is it going to get better? I mean, it could get better, I suppose, next year, but I don't think so, because I don't see the inflation going away and many of these problems going away. So, I mean, this is brand new. This is a brand new territory for any of us who've been following politics here recently. Well, on this day in history, in 1973, December the 2nd, 1973, Gerald Ford became the Vice President of the United States. He was, you know, nominated by President Nixon, confirmed by the House and the Senate, and became the Vice President of the United States. And, of course, this is all because of the resignation of Spiro Agnew, who had resigned the presidency in October of 73 because of some legal issues back in his home state of Maryland. So Gerald Ford became the first unelected vice president. He was literally selected by the president and approved by the Congress. Historic, to say the least. A year later, by the way, we'll talk about this some other time, Nelson Rockefeller became vice president roughly the same way. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and Enjoy it. Have a wonderful day, and bye-bye, everybody.